WTBR-FM, Pittsfield.
Welcome to Ham on WTBR, the all-inclusive ham radio show for hams and non-hams alike. Be part of the show. Contact us on www.facebook.com/hamjamtv. And now the hosts of the show, Peter and Jessica. Ham on.
And good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Wednesday morning after Labor Day.
You think?
How was everybody's Labor Day? Hope everybody had a good time. We are here in Studio B today.
Yes, we are. If you hear chirping in the back, I'm sorry about
that. We decided to take the Labor Day holiday off as well.
Yes.
So we're here in Studio B.
Yes, and then you can hear our lovely parakeet in the back that wants to know, wants to let everybody know it's morning. Morning time is here. Yes, Leia, thank you.
Thank you.
Every morning, that's what we have to do. I love you too, Leia.
It's going to be one of these shows I can see. Show number 101.
I'm just glad I have coffee.
Last week we had show number 100, and Darlene was here, KD2KOW, as well as W1HAI for show number 100. So this is show number 101. Today's topic is something we don't usually talk about. Go Boxes.
You were throwing me into the bus? That's something we don't talk about. That's something that's never happened.
We still don't talk about that.
What are we talking about? Go Boxes? What is a Go Box?
Well, with everything that's going on with hurricanes and power failures and CMEs and all this good stuff. Wait a minute, somebody's creeping up in the back here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Creeper. How you doing?
Who said I was a creeper? I live here.
Well, you're creeping in the back all mysterious and everything, you know.
She's here,
like
folks.
A spy.
But anyway, you're talking about Go Boxes. With everything that's going on with, you know, CMEs from the sun and hurricanes and all those good things, people make Go Boxes, which they put radios in a box that they can take with us. We're going to have someone here that's going to give us a presentation that I took off of YouTube, and we will get to that. But
still, it's a demonstration.
For the first time in a few weeks...
Huh, what?
We actually have news.
Ooh.
And we have breaking news at that.
We have breaking news?
Yes, this just hot off the press, as a matter of fact. The ARRL Board of Directors has formally endorsed a proposal program calling on ARRL to cover the $35 application fee for licensed candidates younger than 18 years old. The FCC is not expected to implement the $35 application fee schedule until sometime in 2022. The board approved the Young Licensing Grant Program at its July meeting in Hartford, Connecticut. The program concept, first raised at the board's annual meeting in January, was reviewed by ad hoc committee, which expanded the scope of the original motion by ARRL Southeastern Division Director Mick Baker and 4MB.
So they're not charging, people under a certain age?
Yeah, it has to be under 18. They'll waive the fee. Goals of the program include expanding the reservoir of trained operators, technicians, and electronics experts within the amateur radio community, and removing a financial obstacle to young people who wish to acquire an amateur radio license. As a means of encouraging potential careers in science, technology, engineering, and math.
STEM.
We talk about STEM here all the time.
And there you go. Nobody bothers to do anything with ham radio in school, but yeah, we're all about the STEM program.
Right, and now the ARRL is looking to that. Under the program,
I'm glad somebody is actually putting ham radio into the STEM program. I mean, if there is any hobby that sits there and lives up to the STEM program, it is ham radio. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. Get you your license. You've been on this show too long. Way on this show too long.
It does. You have the science. You have the science that is the hobby. You have the science that is the hobby. You know, and you have to go ahead and think about the problem. Science that sits there involves propagation. You have to go ahead and think of how it's going to bounce off the atmosphere and everything. That's the science part of it. The technology part of it is you're building the antennas. You're going ahead and you're building, you know, you're redoing the ham radio. You're making all little tweaks and everything to it. It also goes with the engineering, you know. Engineering, you're also going ahead and thinking about how you're going to put up the antenna, where you have to go ahead and put it up just so right, how many meters does it have to be, how big does the antenna have to be in order for you to do it. And then mathematical-wise, you have to figure all that, and you have to put all that together. And also on top of that, if you actually look at some of the ham tests, they go ahead and they have mathematics in there. You have to do mathematical equations to know how many megahertz you're going to be on. So there you go. It fits all right into the STEM program. So I don't want to hear that it can't go ahead and fall into the STEM program.
Thank you. Under the program, the ARRL would cover a one-time $35 application fee for each qualified candidate who passes one or more amateur radio exams taken on the same day at a single examination session. Tests would have to be administered by a volunteer examiner team working under the auspices of the ARRL. Volunteer exam coordinator. Qualified candidates also would pay a reduced exam fee of $5 to the ARRL VEC.
So if you're upgrading from tech to that, you would have to go ahead and pay them?
No, I'm confused. If you take the test,
yeah.
Wait, a little 16, 17 year old kid goes in, takes the test.
Yeah.
It's going to cost him $5.
Oh, okay. Right. Instead of what would...
Instead of the $35.
Yeah. Oh, okay. To take the initial test.
You take them all. It's still going to work. You know, you take your tech, you pass your tech, you can take your general, you pass your general, you can take your extra all in one day, and people have done that. But instead of charging them $35 to do that, they're only going to charge them $5.
Ah, cool. Awesome.
The new program also would enhance ARRL's position as a leader in volunteer testing. The board motion said the board believes that the recruitment and training of young amateur radio operators is a necessary and proper mission of the ARRL, and that subsidization of the $35 fee will reduce the number of new amateurs that otherwise would be lost from these groups, the board said. The board said ARRL headquarters staff would determine the method of qualifying applicants and instruct VE teams, giving the teams flexibility to determine that a candidate is eligible for reimbursement in the absence of documented proof. The board envisioned that the VEC would pay the FCC directly. The new program initially would serve up 1,000 new license applicants younger than 18 years old. The motion gave ARRL staff complete latitude to determine how payment is delivered to the FCC or to reimburse eligible applicants. The program length is indefinite. It may be renewed or terminated by the Administration and Finance Committee or the Board of Directors. The motion carried with applause from the board members.
Oh, holy crap.
So, what you got? You got news?
I think so, maybe, kind of, sort of. What the heck do I got here? Let me see. Most 2021 field day participants entered in Class D. In the second year in which rule waivers were in place for ARRL field day, Some 4,815 entrants were received at the headquarters by July 13th. The majority in Class D home stations last year saw more than 10,000 entrants and over 18,000 participants. Before pandemic, in 2019, 3,113 entrants were submitted, and it totaled up to 36,420 total. It appears that large number groups were more the norm in pre-pandemic times, as expected. AWRL contest programmer Paul Bjork? Is that what I'm looking at?
Where? Boric.
Bork. Okay. Sorry. My bad. N1SFE. Sorry, sir, if I butchered your last name. I am so sorry.
This is local radio. He probably can't hear us.
Still. For discussions I've been having with participants, some groups gather in large numbers this year. Maybe participants chose either to gather in small groups or operate solo from home as Class D or Class E stations. Even though I don't think we'll see the number of entrants that we did last year, we were close to the numbers of participants. Within about 2 weeks to go until the entry submission deadline, the tally participants reported is 16,166. Maybe they made just north of a million total contacts. Andy Gross, AA 5JF, took part in the first ever field day for Augusta University Amateur Radio Club, WA4AUG, which is set up in the Georgia School's Critical Event Preparedness and Response Center. Oh, cool. I didn't even know they had one of those there. Awesome! FD was already in success on Saturday, with the stations working smoothly and lots of local visitors dropping by. An hour after sunrise on Sunday, we were counting our points when Darby KK4 PEQ announced he had just worked a station on 6 meter phone, just playing around on the 50 megahertz using the 20, 15, and 10 tri-bander. Gross said he stayed on 6 for 5 more QSOs, and we were quickly moved to 10 and 15, finding out those bands we're open just about everywhere, and we doubled our score in just 3 hours. What a rush. There is still time to submit your entry, although I don't think you can anymore. Really?
Yeah, don't worry about that part.
No, that part is old. They had to be in by July 27, so yeah, whoever wrote that up obviously was paying attention to the time frame on that one. Anyways!
Alright, a judge in Massachusetts Land Court has ruled that the Zoning Board of Appeals in the city of Framingham erred in revoking a building permit for an 80-foot ham radio tower as an accessory use. Me? The building commissioner in Framingham had granted ARRL member Mikia Misha Fipoff, KD1MF, a building permit for the tower, and Fipoff had begun pouring concrete for the tower footings. Neighbors complained. However, the Zoning Board of Appeals revoked the permit, citing the setback requirements of the city's wireless communications facilities. WCF special permit bylaw. Land Court Judge Howard Spacer reversed the Zoning Board of Appeals decision and ordered the town building commissioner to reinstate the permit. The city of Framingham has provided for the benefit of amateur radio operators exceptions for its zoning requirements from the construction of radio antenna towers for amateur radio operators, the court noted. This case was not settled on the basis of PRB 1 considerations, but strictly on which setback requirements should apply. PRB 1 requires local governments to reasonably accommodate amateur radio installations. The Zoning Board of Appeals had argued
that
FIPOF's project plans failed to meet setback zoning requirements, but the land court determined that the board could not enforce this because of an exception that exempts structures, including amateur radio towers, from these requirements as long as the building permit is issued. The court ruled that the Zoning Board of Appeals erred in overturning the decision of the building commissioner to issue a building permit for the erection of the proposed radio antenna tower. The WCS bylaws definition of a tower is very broad, and the Ham's tower appeared to fit within that definition, causing the Zoning Board of Appeals to require the WCF setback of structure height plus 20 feet. The next sentence in the same WCF paragraph, however, requires that any such facility shall be a minimum of 300 feet from a residential zoning district or residential use. The Zoning Board of Appeals had suggested that FIPOF reapply for a more central location on his lot. The court recognized, however, that amateur radio towers under the Framingham law bylaw are exempt from special permit requirements. By its decision, the board has taken a position that it may pick and choose which of these requirements will remain applicable to use that are, by explicit terms of the bylaw, exempt from the special permit requirement. The land court ruled no reasonable reading of the bylaw permits this unfettered exercise of discretion.
So, because it was for amateur radio, it was exempt. But it had to be by certain requirements to make sure that it's still legal.
Right.
Okay, then. Interesting. So,
coming up after the break. There's, with all these emergencies going on and power failures and look what's happening in Louisiana after the hurricane, or just to have all your radios in one box, there's a presentation that I found on YouTube that we're going to
Or do. Those that are like survivalists or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, do. And it's going to tell you all about Go Boxes and how to put them together and all that good stuff.
Oh, cool. And you're listening to Ham On and WTBR.
WTBR. Oh, Magoo, you done it again.
Hi, I'm Megan Cooper, and I'm the Transition to Adulthood Counselor at AdLib. The Transition to Adulthood program is a grant-funded program that aims to assist students with a range of disabilities to reach a higher level of success. The program works with all students in Berkshire County who are between 14 and 21 years old and on an IEP or a 504 plan. Students work with a transition counselor to develop goals based on their needs and interests, and then continue working with their counselor once a week towards that goal. Areas of service can include, but are not limited to, personal health maintenance, home management, transportation training, social and communication skills, self-advocacy, money management, job readiness, and college preparation. For more information, please visit our website at www.adlibcil.org or contact me, Megan Cooper, at 413-442-7047, extension 30.
This is the Goodwill Industries of Berkshires and Southern Vermont. Our training center and mission services department are open 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we're located at 158 Tyler Street, Pittsfield. Goodwill Industries has 6 store locations: Bennington, Vermont, 215 North Street; Rutland, Vermont, 230 North Main Street; North Adams, 166 State Street; Pittsfield, 457 Dalton Avenue; Lee, 85 Center Street; Great Barrington, 396 Stockbridge Road. Our training center is located at 158 Tyler Street in Pittsfield. You can contact Goodwill Industries at 413 442-0061 or go to our website, www.goodwill-berkshires.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. Hey guys, on today's show we're going to discuss my new GoBox build. Now this came about due to a challenge from a fellow YouTuber, and I really hope I did it justice, but we're going to see it right here, right now on Ham Radio for Non-Techies. Welcome back. As I said, guys, this is a GoBox build that I did for me to have a dedicated POTA box or an off-grid radio setup. And it came about due to a challenge from another YouTuber during a friendly discussion one night. So we're going to go downstairs here and I'll explain all that and show you the whole box, what's in it, and everything's ready to roll. So I'll see you guys downstairs.
All right, guys. So welcome back. Like I said earlier, we're going to discuss my new GoBox and what I built. And I got a little bit of a backstory to talk to you about this first. When I first got my radio, I decided on the radio that I wanted. You guys know from previous videos, I bought the BioNO battery and the solar panel, 100-watt solar panel, and the solar charge controller. And I was all happy with this. I was actually originally going to be building... let me grab this. I was originally going to be building a battery box, just like the one that Mike over K8MRD I had built. So I was actually planning on, I had a larger one of these. It's actually out in the shop right now. And I was going to build a battery box. I have a battery box, have my solar panels, and then I was going to use my little box I bought from Harbor Freight and have it all ready to go. Well, we were on a late night chat one night, and I was talking about this and I sent some pictures, and Mike's kind of hacking on me a little bit. He's screwing with me a little bit. And he's like, well, you know, I can't do the whole imitation voice he does of, I forgot the guy's name now. But he's like, you know, your Go box should really be everything all in one box. You know, everything all in one spot. Okay. All right. Well, we'll play that game. I can play that game. So that's how this came about. So this is after months of planning and sourcing parts and materials and stuff. This is the final product that I got. So we'll pop it open here and I'll do some more explaining. So this is a Gator box. And for those of you who don't know, the Gator box is actually a rack mount system for musicians to use for their equipment and their effects pedals and all that kind of crap. So I repurposed this as a couple other hams have done. And I repurposed it to be an actual Go box for all of my gear for doing POTA and just being completely wireless and cord free, basically. Setting it up, you know, putting the parts where I wanted was easy. The hard part for me was the wiring. I'm not really the best at wiring stuff. And I actually had a fan of the show that I'd made friends with that lives locally around here. He knew a little bit more about this than I do. And he came by and we sat here for a couple of hours and we figured it all out and got it all ready to roll. So anyway, without further ado, what I did is I got the 4U version because, and I've seen other people use these things. They got the 6U, which is much bigger. But since I'm only using a Yaesu FT891 in here, the larger size case wasn't going to, it was just swallow this thing. I only had a couple items I wanted in here to begin with. I want to keep the bare minimums, exactly what I need, and keep it all rolling. So I have my FT891. So that's rolling there. In next to that, I got a speaker running out the side. And then back behind this panel, I actually have my tuner. And the tuner that I chose for this was the LDG Z100 Plus, I believe it was. Well, it took like a month and a half. I was waiting like a month and a half for this tuner to come in. And I wanted to get the box set up, have everything ready to go. So when it did come in, all I had to do was pop it in there and be ready to roll with it. And that really wasn't going to happen for a little while. So I went online, I looked at the specs of the actual tuner, and they said that it was 5.5 by 5.5 by 1.5. So I thought about what do I have out in my shop that I could use to do this? Well, my solution was I had a 2x6 sitting out in the garage, and I cut it down to 5.5 inches by 5.5 inches, A 2x6 is already 1.5 inches, and this is the exact size of the tuner that's back behind here. So I was able to mount this back behind there and kind of get my idea of where I wanted things to go. And that allowed me to keep moving forward with getting the build done. So that's the little story behind the little block of wood here. What I did is, aside from the radio, and I'll show you the back end here in just a second. Aside from the radio, I did grab this USB power. So I've got this set up here. And now that I'm trying to show you guys, it's, oh, there we go. It's got to quick press it. So this also, this has a battery meter on it, and it has USB-C and USB 3.0 or 3.1, something like that. Supposedly really good. Mike said this was a great little item. So I grabbed that. I grabbed some of these little toggle switches with the LEDs on them. The second one here is to power the solar charge controller, which I have on a separate switch. So I don't have that on all the time, because when that's plugged in, that stays, that just automatically turns on and starts draining the battery. So I have an option here to turn that on and off. The last thing I put in here was, and I already purchased this, was this battery meter, which, there we go, will give you the stats on your battery. And if you have the radio on, it'll change and show me what kind of power I'm using in here. Now, I bought this because originally, like I said, all this was going to go into that battery pack that I was going to build, kind of mimicking what Mike had done. Well, after we had our little discussion, and I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I should put it all in one thing. I thought, okay, let's get this thing wired up in there. What I didn't realize is wiring this is a massive pain in the butt, and the instructions for it are horrible. So I do not recommend, unless you just are somewhat of a masochist, I don't recommend adding this little module in here. It really doesn't serve much of a purpose except just kind of looks cool. But cutting this hole out inside this piece of sheet metal that's in here, you know, I went through about 4 blades with my Dremel trying to cut this thing out perfect and getting in there perfect. But the worst part and the worst nightmare was trying to wire this thing up so that it would work in conjunction with the radio, the tuner, and all the stuff, all the other wiring that's in the back end. So I don't recommend getting one of these. I think you could probably use this space, utilize this space for other things you might need. Maybe some front-facing Anderson power poles, or maybe a 12-volt cigarette lighter attachment, or maybe another USB or something in there. There's other things you can do here. So unless you're just a masochist, I don't recommend grabbing one of these. It's fun. It's cool that I got it done, but I'll never, ever do it again. So we'll get rid of that, turn off that, and we'll turn off the USB power and kill that off, and we'll kill that off. So again, guys, I will have all of the links to everything that I used to build this down below. And if you do purchase some of the stuff that's on, at least some of the stuff that's from Amazon, it'll help out my channel so I can bring you guys more videos. This came from DX Engineering. It's about $15. It's a little generic speaker, but I mean, it is pretty loud. So we'll just get that, see if we can get that up here and see if we can get the sound in here. So that's a pretty loud speaker. And it's going to be a lot louder than the top-facing one that's inside the radio anyway. So, $891, little speaker that runs the back of the radio, the Z100 Plus, and of course, my little selection of panels or panel things. So let's go around to the back, and I'll show you what I did back here. On the back side, again, I wanted to make this so that all I had to do is pop this off, attach my antenna. And over here, I know I've got 4 different Anderson power poles, but only the top set here is connected at the moment. I haven't really figured what I want to do with the other 3 yet. But this one here is for plugging in the solar panels. So if I'm out in the field doing POTAs, I just plug that in there and it starts charging the battery for me. Everything's peachy. So let's pop this open. And I'm just going to warn you now, it is kind of a nightmare in here. Okay, so we're back now. I got the back side of this off. You can kind of see inside here. If you want to bring the camera down and kind of show inside, hopefully there's enough light to really see what's going on. It's a spaghetti mess inside of here. But I have my Anderson power pole distribution block here. I got my 15 amp hour BioNO battery here. This is the solar charge control, which is running out to the Anderson power poles. And all the wiring runs back in here for everything that goes back in the front panel for the radio and such. It's pretty simple setup. I mean, it probably would have been a lot simpler had I not put that battery gauge on the front there and just kept it with a couple of switches and a couple of little USB power ports. But this works. I mean, this is easy to deal with. If I need to recharge a battery, say I'm at home here and I'm not going to be running out with solar, all I have to do is pop this off and plug this into the wall socket that has the wall charge that comes with the BioNO battery. So I can just recharge it all right here and be ready to roll. So that is pretty much it. The Z100 Plus, I want to talk about the tuner real quick. The Z100 Plus tuner is really cool. It has two different options. You have a AC power adapter, which will plug into the wall, or if you take out the four screws on the side of the item, or on the side of the tuner, you pull that off. There's a place to put in eight AA batteries, and they claim, I can't remember exactly what the exact amount was, they claim that with those eight batteries in there sitting inside, it should last 2 to 3 years. So time will tell. We'll see what happens. I do a couple POTAs and some activations and things and see how that all works out. But for the moment, you know, that's all in here. I'm running on completely on battery, not running off the battery, off the battery. So it's got its own power source separate from the battery. And yeah, everything else looks like it's working here. So with that, I guess, don't really know what else to say. The case, like I said, is a travel case for musicians, basically. I picked this up on Amazon. Oh, the one cool thing about the case, and I can't really do much about it now, it does have the ability. It's got a handle here and wheels in the front. So this thing will wheel around like luggage. So it makes it a lot easier to drag this thing around because it does weigh a little bit with all the stuff that's in here. So these run about, I think this case ran about $250. And of course, the 891 is what it is, and the tuner is what it is. Again, guys, I'll have the links to everything down below in the video here. So with that being said, guys, I hope you enjoyed the video. I hope you enjoyed this this build. I really, you know, I understand why Mike didn't show anybody how he wired up his battery boxes, because it was a freaking nightmare. Honestly, it was a freaking nightmare. Again, most of it was self-inflicted because I decided to put this this little battery meter on here. If I left that out, it would have all been probably pretty simple and probably a lot less wires inside. But just make sure everything's grounded properly, getting everything mounted in here. The 891 is actually... it comes with a little tiny mounting bracket that's supposed to be like in your vehicle or something like that. That's actually screwed down to the bottom shelf that I purchased for this case, along with the speaker is also screwed in. The battery on the back, since I have no way of actually mounting that, and I'm sure as hell not going to be screwing into it, that's actually just zip tied in the back. It's really high strength zip ties. Same with the tuner. The tuner's been brought up. I just drilled a couple holes to show me with the SWR LED, the tuning LED, and then the tune button, which you really don't have to mess with. Once you key up on this on the radio, this thing goes into action, starts matching your resonance and everything for your antennas. So that's the only other thing that's just zip tied in there. Everything else in here I use pretty much those step bits we used before when we were building some of the other projects. I use one of those step bits to drill these holes in here. And again, for this rectangular piece here, that was just a lot of little metal cutting blades from my Dremel. Would I build this again? Yeah, but I'd probably do it a whole lot different than I did this first time. And I might even change it down the road. I might say the hell with this thing and throw that out and just redesign the whole front plate so I can just lessen the amount of wires in here and the amount of confusion. Because right now, the way I've got in here, all the wires are marked. So if I have to take this thing apart, I at least know how to put it back together. But it's just, it's too much. It's really too much. But I got it done. I'm happy with it. I've already taken it out once before and tried it out on the front porch here. And, for about 10 minutes till the mosquitoes were using me as a buffet, and, just wanted to make sure that everything I did, I want to prove that it works. I hooked up my M-Pass 2.0, which is right back here. And got that all set up, and I was able to pick up the stations. The radio works just fine. Everything in here seems to be working great. There's no blown fuses. There's no major issues, anything. I haven't any, there's no excessive noise. So the way that I've got it wired up, whatever I did right. So that's it, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the video. If you would, please give me a thumbs up and let YouTube know that this video is cool and blah, 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 so it'll be shown to more people. And if you're a first timer here, you want to consider joining the channel, you know, Ham Radio for Non-Techies. I try to simplify all the technical stuff that's in the ham radio hobby and try to explain it to you guys in a way that's easier to digest and get you on the air as quickly as possible. Whether it's, whether you're coming from, you know, knowing nothing about ham radio and want to learn something, the website that I built and all the resources I've got on the site there will help you learn, study, and get your exam passed and get your license or licenses, depending on how far you want to take it. And I got a whole bunch of other information on there. So if you like that, you know, please consider subscribing. Click on the little bell, and that'll let people know or let you know when I have new videos. Until then, guys, my name is Scott. My call sign is KI5MPL. This is Ham Radio for Non-Techies, and we are clear.
And that was about Go Kits. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. And you had mentioned something during the presentation off air.
I remember during your guys' ham cram that you went ahead and you had a ham go ahead and talk about his Go Kit, which was Rich. Rich went ahead and did the emergency services part of the ham cram, and he had his own little Go Kit that he went ahead and showed his setup, what radio he had, what was in the pack, and how to set it up and how to do it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I remember that, and it was pretty awesome. Also, on top of that, if you guys want to go ahead and see all that little nifty ham cram videos, they play it on PC TV and also on YouTube channel. Go ahead and...
Yeah, you can catch the Ham Cram 2018 that we actually did at the PC TV studios. They play it, oddly enough, right before this show on PC TV on channel 1301. Wednesday mornings at 8:30 because we come on at 9 a.m.
Yep, so if you guys want to see that, there's that.
Yeah, and Go Kits are fun. You know, you can put whatever radios you want in there, you know, UHF, VHF, W1TTT. Dave has a Go Kit he's been putting together.
Cool.
John Fritzy actually did a presentation while we lived in Albany on Go Kits. So it's a new thing. It's something we hardly ever talk about on this show, but we figured we'd
pretty awesome. We
bring it up. Go Kits.
Yeah.
Go Kits are fun.
Go Kits are awesome.
Yes. What else do we got going on?
You got more
stories? Back to the news. We still got some time left.
Yeah, I think I still have one. Let me see. Here we go. Sailing vessel with ham radio marks 100 year. The schooner. Bowdoing, is that? Bowdoing. Okay, I did pronounce that correctly.
Bowdoing. Something like that.
Is central this year, Marina Maritime Academy as a training vessel, the ham radio history of the 88-foot-long LOA. Bowdoing is often neglected, constructed mains specifically for Arctic exploration. The vessel relied on amateur radio communication during explorer Donald P. Macmillan's Arctic expedition of 1923, and on the Macmillan McDonald Bird expedition of 1925, thanks in part to the ARRL co-founder Harmon Percy Maxim. W1AW, the Verbal vessel, the official vessel of the state of Maine and flagship of Maine Maritime Academy vessel operations technology program, recently went under a complete hull restoration and refitting and has done a little touring to mark its century anniversary. Its home is in Castine, Maine. The long-wave transmitters McMillan used on his earlier missions had proven unable to penetrate the screen of the Aurora Borealis. Then AWRL historian Michael Mariano, WN1M, who unfortunately is now a silent key, explained in his article, Polar Exploration, for the June 14th edition of QST in 1923, McMillan turned to the AWRL for help in outfitting his next exploration with better wireless gear. Mariano recounted it was enthusiastically provided Maxim and the board recruited Donald H. Mix, 1TS of Bristol, Connecticut, to accompany the crew as its radio operator. WB West, a board member, designed the gear, which was then built by amateurs at his firm, Zenith Electronics. Oh, cool. It's part of the Zenith Electronics board. Awesome. The transmitter operation on the medium wave bands 185 to 20 and 300 meters. What would that be? 185, 220, and 300 meters.
No clue.
Really? Can't think of it right now.
440 meters is 7. 160 meters is 1 megahertz. So 300 meters is like minus something megahertz or something. I don't know.
What was he on, a microwave or something?
No, microwave is gigahertz. He's like 0.045 megahertz or something like that. I don't have my calculator here to do the math on it, but it's below 1 megahertz.
Is running 100 watts to a pair of Western Electric G. To his earlier exploration missions had used gear that operated on longer wave frequencies. The shipboard station on board the Boeing was given the call sign WNP, Wireless North Pole. Cool. WNP transmitted weekly 500 word press releases and listings of stations worked and heard. Mariano said, once received by amateur station, these reports were delivered to local affiliated newspapers of the North American Newspaper Alliance. From there, they distributed syndicate-wide by telegraph. So do you, CW? Cool. McMahon's subsequent attempt at the North Pole centered around wireless. The objectives, supported by the Navy and the National Geographic Service, were to determine the full capabilities of radio north of the Aurora Belt. and to explore the northern reaches by air. The outstanding accomplishment of the 1925 expedition was in the sphere of radio. Utilizing short waves, the expedition was in constant contact with the outside world throughout the journey. To the delight of amateurs who were able to work them, the phenomenal success proved to the Navy that short waves were definitely superior to long waves and ultra waves that fleets have been using. So, cool. Awesome.
Very cool. So, AB-10C, Fred Kemmer had a town hall meeting on Zoom on Monday night. And he answered a lot of the questions about what he would do if he got elected to the New England Division Director for the ARRL. He's been on this show. We talked to him. I'm supposed to be getting a copy of the Zoom meeting. If we get that, we will play it on this show. For those who did not hear it, we'll put it on the show for you. But yeah, it was a good meeting. He stated his case just like he did here on the radio, answered a lot of the questions. And if you are an ARRL member, you should get your ballots by October 1st in the mail. There's three people running now. There's K1 KI and K1 VR, who is the current New England Division Director, and AB-10C, who is one of the candidates that wants to be New England Division Director. And in case you missed it, a couple weeks ago, Ray LaJoy was here, and he got reelected to section manager. He ran unopposed. So congratulations to Ray
for
another couple of years of Western Mass section manager. And we will keep you up to date on what goes on with ABOC, Fred Kemmer, and his bid for New England District Director.
Oh, cool.
We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Ham On WTBR.
Is it possible to two Utes?
To what?
What?
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
WTBR.
Wireless. You hear that word used a lot today. We have wireless telephones, wireless internet systems, wireless microphones. What it actually means is that they are radios. And who knows more about radios than amateur radio operators? Call them amateurs or call them hams. They know the modern wireless world. They helped create it.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
The future begins in 10, 9, 8, 8.
Oh, wait a minute.
8.
What, again?
8.
Dude, what the fuck? Who is this guy?
3, 2, 1.
WTBR.
And we are back.
Yes, we
Episode
are.
Episode 101. Guy working on our second 100 years or 100 years.
100 years, huh?
100 episodes of this show. So I we know summer's coming.
I think
to
I'll be dust by the time.
You'll be dust. I'll be beyond dust. We'll be doing this show from the afterlife. Summer officially, unofficially has come to an end. Summer
yes.
really is still here till September 21st, but with the passing of Labor Day weekend, it's the unofficial end of summer.
Because meteorology-wise, it is meteorological fall. They explained that on the news, this is what is called meteorological fall.
Meteorological
fall.
All right, so we haven't done this in a while, so you want to put your little plea out?
Yes. Since it's getting towards the holidays and everything, you know, fall turns into winter, please go ahead and think about our little buddy, Humane Society, and go ahead and probably think, you know, of adopting one of them. It would be pretty cute. And also on top of that, for those pets in need, please go ahead and also contact the Berkshire Humane Society and let them know, you know, you need some help. They'll go ahead, they'll help you with food and, you know, and litter and stuff like that. So please go ahead and think about that. Give them a call at 417-7878. Please go ahead and think about it, and please help out. If you're thinking about donating, please go ahead and do that. If you need help, please let them know, hey, I need help. They do not look at your finances. They don't care about your finances. All they care about is making sure that the pets are taken care of. So please go ahead and think about that, and thank you. You want to say something?
Yeah. The pantry goes every 6 months, so only thing you would have to do is just re-up every 6 months. They're awesome. They're wonderful. They'll ask you your animal's particular things, such as if your animal likes wet foods and, you know, like pate or whatever. I mean, but they will help you as much as they possibly can. The object is the holidays are coming, guys, and they need help, too. Their pantry gets a little bit low, so give them a call, okay?
There you have it. Nice public service announcement.
Yes.
Also, remember to donate to this radio station to keep
shows
like this
donate.
On the air. And like everybody keeps emailing me and telling me that we are the only ham radio show anywhere that we know about. At least that's on broadcast FM. So if you want to keep us on broadcast FM, if you want to keep the Beatles forever on broadcast FM, donate to WTBR FM. Just go to WTBRFM.com and hit the donate button. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, keep them working because it keeps me out of their hair, too.
Oh, hey, because you're here with us.
Yes.
Nah, not really. Sometimes. Don't tell them all that.
Anyway. Wednesday mornings. Go on here. Anyway.
But think about it this way. You have an endless supply of coffee. You don't have to go far. Come on. It's a good thing.
And then it ceases to amaze me. We could be at the studio doing this show. We could be here in Studio B at home doing this show, and you still managed to throw me under the bus.
Oh, come on. You know, I have to do that. I have to do this every time. Think about this. One, I am your co-host. Two, I am your kid. So by blood, I have to go ahead and throw you under the bus at least once during the day. It doesn't even have to be on Wednesday, man. It could be on any day. And I have to hurl your butt under the bus. At least it's a bus. At least it's not like Mom who ends up throwing you under a freaking semi.
It seems like it's been a train as of late. Cycle 1 Traffic Net, 1 and 4:30 p.m. on K1FFK. 146.91. We need NCS, and we need traffic takers if you guys want to help out and join the NCS team. We can train you how to do that real quick. KD2JKV at gmail.com. Also, the Heavy Hitters Traffic Net at 10 p.m. on every night except Saturday on K1FFK 146.91. Is it weird what?
Is it weird that I'm not a ham and I know how to go ahead and take and that I know how to take and make traffic?
No, because you listen to us do it all. You listen to me do it all the time because apparently I'm the only one that does it.
So help
me out here, people. I need more traffic takers because...
And I made my own traffic, too, one time.
And she made her own traffic, and it got passed, and she got a response back.
Yes, it was for the ham trivia, the ham radio trivia, the trivia by ham, trivia through traffic thingy, the trivia traffic thingy.
So...
It's pretty cool.
We're out of here. I promised last week that we were going to play the song, and we didn't play the entire song because we just kind of ran out of time.
Yes.
So we have the song here, and we're going to play it in its entirety. So we're going to say goodbye, and we will talk to you next week.
73s. Take care.
And no, we're not because
today's show, we're going to discuss.
That's the wrong one. Let's play the right one. All right. Now we're out of here. And here's Queen, and we will rock you, and...
We are the champions.
We are the champions. 73, everybody.
73.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it. We will rock you. Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge.